I'll be waiting by the shore. Stand in a circle with love and arms around you, yeah. Come to the river where the mighty waters flow. And as the river unwinds, you'll see the turns of your life.
Sure, Catherine. Such a pleasure to be on your show again. I've had so many good times with you over the course of many, many years. And I really appreciate your recognizing the beauty and value of our Earth Day celebrations year after year. Andrew Kane, Planet Hard, A Better World, myself, and others, Institute of Global Education, Committee for Spirituality, Values and Global Concerns, are we the World with Rick Offit, are all the sponsors of this event. And we're going to have a dynamite show. I mean, I'll be the host and MC as usual. And this year we're having the co-founder of Pachamama Alliance, Lynn Twist, who's just a beautiful woman who's just finished a book about commitment. Van Jones wrote the introduction. She and her husband, Bill, are powerhouses in protecting the indigenous people of Ecuador at the headwaters of the Amazon River, protecting their culture, their language, their lifestyle, their land. And Pachamama is a now global organization educating people about the importance of nature, of the ecosystem, that it is us, that we're not separate from it, looking in. So Lynn will be one of our speakers. I actually did a pre-record interview with her just the other day. Dwayne Elgin is a very special man, media activist, environmentalist, author, teacher, the founder of the Voluntary Simplicity Movement, real dynamo. Then we also have, as a speaker, the internationally known journalist, Dar Jamal, who's worked with Al Jazeera for many years, reporting on things going on in the Middle East, who also wrote a book called The End of ICE. He's also a mountain climber. And this book is a testament to his experiences over the past few years of how the ice is melting everywhere as a result of anthropogenic activity. That's a fancy way of saying humans destroying the ecosystem. I translated into plain English. And he witnessed it firsthand and wrote this utterly touching, beautiful book about it. And he lives out in the woods. He was supposed to be on a few years ago, but his connectivity out in the woods wasn't so good. I understand it's improved now, so I've invited him back. Then there's the co-founder of the Eco Restoration Alliance, John Scholl, a lovely gentleman who is dedicated his life to not just planting trees, the way I like to say it, Catherine, but rather planting entire native habitats. So it's almost like a permaculture kind of thinking that all of the plants in a given area are being restored by his and his organization's efforts. And that way the soil becomes deeply enriched, and it's part of a growing action of regenerative growing and agriculture as the means of dealing with global warming and reversing it. Then we have Pramit Russell Tubbs as one of our wonderful musicians. We have John Wobbenhorst, who is a player of bansuri, a beautiful Indian instrument, and a very talented musician. I used to go to all of his concerts when he was in the New York area back some time ago. and Kristen Hoffman, who is, well, our audience knows Kristen Hoffman, and we've had her on your show as well over the past few years, who's an angelic singer and keyboard player, and we're really just blessed to have all of these folks on.
That's wonderful, wonderful. And your event is going to be a week from today, actually, correct? On the 21st of April?
Correct. April 21st at 7 p.m. It's on A Better World's Facebook page, A Better World Media. And people just have to go there for the live stream and tune in. And we'd love to have people. Then it'll also be on our A Better World TV show YouTube channel. In fact, a lot of places. The Global Peace Tribe, Scott Katamas is tuning in and bringing his tribe, if you will, to the table. The Unify organization, which is an enormous, several million dollar people organization. If everybody contributed $1, there would be several million dollars. John Raymer's group, the Sign Organization, is going to be participating by bringing people as well. So I also meant to say, Catherine, that I should say that also, in addition to the musicians, in addition to the speakers, who I'll be doing kind of a casual dialogue with, is going to be Andy Kane, who will be reading a poem, and I'll be speaking as well at the very end. It opens, by the way, with Chief Phil Lane giving a Native American blessing.
Wonderful. And I noticed, as I was looking up more information, the theme for Earth Day this year is investing in teaching. And that's pretty cool, I think, as well. Teaching and resources for the earth, invest in our planet. And that coincides with a lot of the work you've been doing for many, many years. So I think it's a wonderful thing that you're presenting this event that people can connect with online from anywhere in the world. Yeah. And maybe get some insight and inspiration on how they can make a difference in preserving our world, because I think it will take more activity, more consciousness, and perhaps even more political engagement. So I think it's important for people of like mind to come together and be able to celebrate Earth Day. And I believe the actual day would be Saturday the 22nd. And I'm exactly sure there are many, many more things and ways for people to engage in Earth Day events that are more local in your neighborhoods or your cities. So I'm hoping to encourage our listeners to step up and really engage, or maybe even create within their own communities some kind of event or some kind of awareness, and perhaps even inviting more people to this event that you are speaking of as well.
You know, Catherine, if I may, I'm so glad you brought those points up, all of them. Because it really does speak not only to my heart, but to the activities at hand. On one hand, about Saturday night, which is Saturday, which really is, as you say, Earth Day itself, the Global Peace Tribe, Scott Katamas, has invited me to co-host his Earth Day celebration of the Global Peace Tribe. And what we're actually going to do is replay what we do Friday night for him and his organization Saturday night. So if people miss it on Friday night, they can catch it there, or of course on my YouTube channel anytime. But we like to build the energy, as you're also kind of implying. The other piece that I just would say a quick word about is that there's an entire effort through the Institute of Global Education, which I'm now just recently made the president and CEO of, this EcoSoc level NGO, is to give an environmental education. And we believe that when you intersect in one way, such as taking care of the planet on a local level, you're also dealing with the other major issues of the planet, which are economic injustice, disparity, poverty, and the issues around peace. And if we just pick, and we have picked, one, it's fractal in nature, and it will have an impact on all of those other things, because people want to live in peace. They want to be prosperous on local levels. They want to have good quality food and water. And we're dealing with all those issues, food and water security and all that, through online education. And there's another organization called Sisters of the Peace that we at A Better World and Institute for Global Education are coordinating with, and Eco Restoration Alliance and others, to create this online community of education for people of all ages, all over Asia, all over Africa, all over Latin America, all over the North America, for people to work and be actively involved on local levels to create regeneration locally.
And I want to invite you as well to come in, Pramik, and tell us about how it is that you as a musician are integrating your work with these really powerful issues, such as preserving the Earth's integrity.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much. First of all, I want to say over the years, I've admired your show so much beautiful information about health, healing, and spiritual awareness has been broadcast to so many people. So big, big gratitude to you for that. And it's a real joy and honor to be a part of your show, actually, for the first time. Well, you know, music has consciousness. You know, you go to the dentist's office, you hear one kind of music, or you go to a heavy metal concert, you hear another kind of music. And music is really, really consciousness. So even though I'm not a lyricist songwriter per se, just in the spirit of great music masters like John Coltrane and others, whose music was really dedicated to uplifting the consciousness of humanity, I also try and, without a specific verbal message, also try and manifest that, you know, in the music I do. Even if I'm playing, you know, like a commercial type show or recording different people, I always try and give my best effort in terms of making it a conscious and uplifting experience. And if I may share a quick Earth Day story, I don't remember, Mitchell, when Earth Day officially came into being, but in 1978, I was with a band at the time called Jotra on Long Island. I'd never heard of Earth Day celebrations before, but in 1978, we were asked to be a part of this Earth Day celebration where we opened for Harry Chapin, who, of course, was a very much a beautiful activist. So that was my very first Earth Day musical experience, which leads up to the present. And I've been honored to be part of Mitchell's events for the past few years, you know, offering primarily meditative music to just offer a pause in our, you know, verbal exchanges and just to take a breath and just breathe in a few moments of peace. And so even though I do many, many forms of music, when I'm on Mitchell's show, I always try and keep it more on the spiritual meditative side, because I've practiced meditation for many, many years. I find it's integral toward self-balancing and, you know, to bring a higher awareness to assist in our efforts to, you know, bring about a better world.
I like the sound of that, John. For me.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. And Mitchell, obviously we're psychically connected because without outwardly knowing it, we were in the same color t-shirts today. I think it's brilliant.
One of the many signs and symbols.
Right, right, right. But anyway, yeah, it is a joy to be a part of this because, you know, we all need those introspective moments where we go beyond the realm of entertainment and into the spiritual search, where, you know, all the answers lie within, you know. And I find that meditative and spiritual music helps break through the mental barriers and into those deeper places where we can access those realities.
Well, that is so true. I am very clear that that's a part of our going forward. I mean, first of all, because we live in a vibrational world, and music is a part of that. And every aspect of our being and of our reality has music within it. The organs have a tone. Our voices bring forth energy. So music is a really big piece when we think in terms of bringing our lives into harmony.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Yeah. It's even said in ancient India that, you know, some of these singers could actually create weather changes through the beauty of their voices. Like certain ragas could make it rain, you know, when there was a dry season. All, who knows if it's legend or reality, but I think there's a reality that, you know, even the great Ravi Shankar said, if I can bring soulful tears to even one member of the audience, I've accomplished something.
So true. I want to share some of your music. I have a little video. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I would love to have people to just listen to what you maybe have to say and want to, what you play and share with people. So do you want to tell me a little bit about this video?
I made the video at Mitchell's request because on the actual evening of the event, I'll be on a tour in Florida at that time. So I wanted to make this video offering. And it was just actually quite spontaneous, where I picked a spiritual melody, like a devotional song written by my spiritual teacher, Sri Chinmoy, and made that into an instrumental with some improvisation. And I use an ancient Tibetan singing bowl to bring a certain vibration to it. So it's just very simply a meditative musical offering to just contribute to the event.
And we're going to share just a taste so people will have a sense of what they will enjoy. So I'm going to stop share and start over again, see if I can get it to work. I'm going to get it played. I just don't know under what circumstances I have to.
Under what circumstances?
We'll bring in one of the AI robots. They'll figure it out.
No, not that. That's a fate worse than death, I think.
I know. Bad joke.
No, it's true. And so before we complete our show, I'm going to try to get it out there. But it sounded very beautiful in that I could hear it, the gongs, and then you transition into a flute. Maybe you can speak about that creative process for us.
Right. Well, I also teach a number of students. That's part of my work. And I always try and encourage them to be creative. Like, you know, a lot of the young ones can be scared if you take the piece of paper away and say, okay, now make up something of your own. And they see like a blank canvas and, oh my God, what am I going to do now? So you give them like basic, simple guidelines. And, we have something here in the video world. Oh, there we are. It worked.
Yay.
Yeah, I was in the background trying to figure out which button I didn't push right. You know, there's always a little something, but it was wonderful to be able to get that richness to people. I didn't mean to entirely interrupt you, but So, yeah, if you want, talk about that creative way of being, because I find that it's not just music. It's music, it's painting, it's performing. It's all kinds of engagement that people can work through to make a difference and get that message across.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah, creativity comes from within, whether it's painting, dance, or music. And although as a teacher, it's always good to give some basic guidelines. You know, I've studied quite a lot of the music of India, for example. I have a deep interconnection with that spirituality and culture. And it's very often that the teacher will say, you know, just start with one note. Just sing one note and then go from there and then slowly add another and another and another. It's like a flower, eventually like a flower blossoming. And so the creative process is like you're not going to paint a masterpiece overnight. It's a slow unfolding, you know, just like the process of inner growth or spiritual growth. And but I believe it is very, very important to access those inner places where you can look around you and say, well, you know, hundreds and thousands of people have contributed so much, you know, what can I possibly contribute? But there's always a new page that can be turned and always something new can be added to the universe of, you know, of sound and of the creative process in general. And I find starting from a place like a blank canvas, even I saw a lecture by a great film composer, Hans Zimmer, and he always says, you know, I don't always rely on formulas. Whenever film is presented to me, I always start with a blank canvas and then go from there. And so I find that meditation and quieting the mind is essential for the creative process to unfold. Otherwise, it's just too much of a mental process where you're depending on, you know, prescribed formulas, and, you know, too much of the mental process, because, you know, it all emerges from the silent mind. You know, a silent mind and open heart, to me, go together. And so that's when I'm about to create something, I always try and find from silence, you know, and then, you know, inspiration flows. It's like a fountain and that can come, but you have to have room for the fountain. If you approach it with a mind cluttered with, thoughts or schedules or ideas, it's going to be very, very difficult for that little plant to come through. It's sort of like you've got a layer of cement. It's going to be a lot harder the plant come through the cement than fertile soil. So that's my, you know, spontaneous little take on the creative process.
Yeah, and I would say that's also the healing process. No matter what kind of engagement you have, whatever transformation you need, whether it's the physical body or your relationships on your life, you're speaking of the place where we need to start, no matter what the creation may be. It could be music, it could be a vital life and or meaningful relationships. So I think that there's a wisdom there that is very, very deep. Amitra,
absolutely.
Would you like to speak? Because I know that you are a healer as well. And if you have any thoughts that you wanted to bring Pramik to answer, let's hear it.
Sure. It happens just on the level of music, and very synchronistically, I'll say, that in Pramik's and my getting to know each other over time, because he moved to Connecticut over the last period of time from, was it Queens or Brooklyn? Queens, I think.
Queens. There.
Yeah. And not only was I born in Queens, but I grew up in Connecticut. And so we were just chatting a little bit, Catherine. And it ends up that I playfully said to him that I had grown up in Westport, Connecticut. And the house I once lived in, we had this big old farmhouse that we rented when we first moved there at the tender age of 11. It had the people who moved in after us was a musician couple, Gay and John Mehegan. John Mahigan taught jazz improvisation at Yale. He's an internationally known musician and teacher because he came up with a jazz theory that no one else had had. And many years later, when I was in graduate school for psychology, I loved jazz. I grew up on jazz, Harry Belafonte as well, and Odetta and John Coltrane and on and on. Well, it ended up that Pramik, I studied jazz improv with Gay, and he was in a group with Gay in Westport over the course of many years. Most people don't even know who they are unless you're on the inside of the jazz world. And there was Pramik standing right smack in the middle of it. Well, so was I. But, you know, that's just one of the fun, you know, outer things that kind of showed up from an inner calling, if you will, that we've both had. You know, the thing I'd like to kind of respond to, Catherine, and relative to what you're saying, is this space that we all like to call the zone. It's this space. It's kind of an alpha space. It's a coherent mind. And as the Institute of Heart Math calls it, a coherent heart. And that's the space of deep listening, deep empathy, deep self-reflection, and deep healing. And in the work that I do with people, individuals, and couples, getting into that space of listening really with the heart. And even when there are physical issues, we find that deep listening, which also leads to deep loving and connection, both with someone outside of ourselves and with ourselves, leads to physical healing. When the emotional body awakens and softens and becomes coherent, cells vibrate differently.
True.
And they come into coherence. And beautiful, incredible, therapeutic music has that same effect, coming not necessarily originating on the inside, but on the outside. And it has that effect. So I just wanted to share some thoughts with you all.
Excellent, excellent.
Happened to the sun? It used
also want to share another video that you sent me with Dwayne and Colleen Elgin. Is that how you say?
Elgin. Yeah.
And we're only going to play a little piece of it. And just to give people a sense of what else they'll be engaging with on this event.
Sure.
So, of course, with YouTube, I have to be vigilant for pop-ins, but let's see if we can get through.
Yeah. A little more.
Hello, and welcome back to A Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Raven, and I'm very glad you're joining us again today. Today, we're going to have another very interesting and important show. I have invited back Dwayne Elgin, and this time his lovely wife, Colleen Elgin, filmmaker, to talk about their latest work, a book that Dwayne wrote called Choosing Earth. And I'm first going to tell you a little bit about them both, and then we're going to go headlong into discussing the fundamental tenets of the book and also show you a clip of the film that Colleen made based on this particular subject, which is tantamount and salient for, honestly, all of our lives. And that'll get fleshed out as the interview goes on. So a few words about Dwayne. Dwayne has an extraordinary background, actually. A social scientist, 2 years on the senior staff of a presidential commission, President Nixon, on the American future. 6 years working as a senior social scientist with the Futures Group at SRI International, where he conducted research on the deep future for the National Science Foundation, the President's Science Advisor, the Environmental Protection Agency, and more. Dwayne is also the author of some 5 books that look into the deep future, looking at different aspects of that future for us all to prepare for. And so it's really a pleasure to have Dwayne back on A Better World. His wife, Colleen Elgin, will be joining us again today. Well, for the first time, actually, today. Filmmaker, she develops and leads educational programs and media that explore our time of great transition. She's produced, directed, and co-wrote the documentary film Facing Adversity and Choosing Earth, Choosing Life, which you'll be seeing a little bit of. For over 15 years, her documentary work, both short and long form, has focused on pioneers of consciousness and spiritual growth. Examples are Science and Sacraments, Psychedelics, Research and Mystical Experience, The Way of the Shaman, the work of Michael and Sandra Harner, and videos for the John E. Fetzer Memorial Trust, including John E. Fetzer Retrospective. So it's really a pleasure to have both of these lovely people on today that are shaking our world down to the roots, quite honestly. And in a way that I will also say we need to see what's really going on, to really grok it, if you will, to be a little science fictional about it, but right back to Earth, then showing us where we go from here to make a difference in our world and to turn things around. So, Dwayne, Colleen, a pleasure to have you both.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Really good to be here with you.
Yeah, great to be here.
I'm so glad.
Old friend.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. But
we require old friendship to move this world forward.
Indeed. Really. I mean, that's the foundation right there. We require old friendships, new friendships. We require community. This is a core theme for Colleen. In a way, that's where we end, is where we're beginning right now. Is with community.
I think that's really a very good point. We sort of begin and end with community. And if you want to get kind of a biological about it, that's the way we've survived. I really like telling people it's through community, through clan, through tribe, through storytelling, actually, and the building of oxytocin through love of the community that we were able to deal with predators.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well said, Mitchell. Let's dive in.
You have much to share with us, Dwayne, and then we're delighted, Colleen, to see
a clip of the video, and that will be a pre-staging for others to come and tune in at greater length. So, Dwayne, your book is thorough, it's critical, it's deep. Take us through what you feel are the primary tenets that you would like people to know about.
Okay. Let me start by a bit of diagnosis. How do we look at this in the first place? What is happening in the world? Because the world has never gone through a time of transition of planetary scale that involves all of us, and not just the humans, but the other forms of life that inhabit the world as well. And so to make it as simple as possible, we bring three perspectives to this inquiry, wide, deep, and long. We bring a wide perspective. We say it's more than just climate change. So many people are focusing on the emergency of climate change. That's very important, but it's not the whole story. We also have profound, a mass extinction underway right now of species around the Earth. We're running out of water. The groundwater is being pumped dry around the Earth, and so farming and the ability to feed ourselves is being compromised if we will look a bit wider and see the drought emerging around the planet. There's profound, severe inequities of well-being, and this has to be factored into the pathway ahead. So the point is, there are many more, but we need to look wide beyond single issues. We need to look deep beneath the surface of material changes, a new solar panel on the roof, a new electric car, and so on. That's great, but we need to look even deeper than that, to the changing values, the changing mindsets, the changing consciousness, the changing paradigm of how we look at reality itself and our place in it. Then we need to look long. Typically, people are looking maybe 2 years in advance if it's the big corporations, maybe 5 to 10 years in advance, some academics. We are looking 50 years into the future. And if you put these three together, look wide, look deep, look long, it changes how you see things. We don't have to impose upon people. Just the looking itself is transformative.
Wow, that was pretty amazing introduction. And if people want to see this, they can find it on YouTube with Mitchell Rabin's channel. But Mitchell, maybe you can, you know, bring this back, this conversation, into the context of the event coming up. And sure. We can, again, share with people how to connect before we have to end our program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Catherine. It was great to see Dwayne and Colleen again. They are very special people. And Dwayne, I have had a long-term relationship with, and which is why I wanted to invite him on. And I just think so highly of his work. And you can both, and the audience can see the depth to which he goes to research and understand the purview, the importance of a paradigm shift in perception of our lives, of our reality, and of Earth itself. And this is the kind of caliber I like to bring forward in our Earth Day events, actually year after year. This is the first time we've had Dwayne coming, and I'm just so delighted and so honored. And we will be looking at this. And let me just share with everyone, if you would like to come. Oh, beautiful, Catherine. Thanks so much. If you want to participate, you can participate to tune into the live stream. It's at A Better World Media on Facebook, or A Better World TV Show, it's called, one word, on YouTube. Next Friday, exactly a week from today, April 21st at 7, it'll go to around 9:30 or so. So everyone can tune in. Or people can alternatively contact me at a better world assistant at Yahoo, a better world assistant at yahoo.com, or just give a call if they want more information at 212-420-0800, 420-0800. Glad to chat with them about it. But we're going to be having people from literally all over the world tuning in to our event. And we're so glad for it because, as you were bringing up, Catherine, before, the importance of this being a global activity. You know, I will also say that I've had the good fortune of meeting up with a microbiologist from Australia named Walter Haney. And he's doing a lot in the space of regenerative agriculture and reforestation, but he's doing it in a way that you will appreciate because of your background in Chinese wisdom. We're taking water and earth and combining them in a way which they go together anyway. But according to his way of creating what's called a geosponge, there's this idea that all desertification can literally be disappeared in 10 years. And all of the deserts across the planet can become grasslands and marshlands and fertile area for food and for water again, for earthworms, for fungus, for mold, for yeast, all of these delicious mycelium in the soil gives room for and space for a fertile planet again. And it's so simple, and it actually costs almost no money. John Scholl will be speaking about that to some extent, as well as Dwayne, in our upcoming Earth Day event. So that gives you a little idea. By the way, let me say, Walter says that if we were to recruit this idea of a geosponge, of bringing water and soil together in a particular method, not complicated, we can end global warming, reverse all that has happened, or a lot of it, in 10 years. So this is well within our purview. This is not maybe and we hope and if we pray. No, we have to be in action. Pray also, but we mainly need to be in action, which is why I appreciate what you were saying earlier about local activity. And this is part of what that local activity needs to be.
Very, very good. And I understand that some of the countries in the Middle East have been doing this. Saudi Arabia, for instance, has taken away their deserts. It's happening in China. And I would say that it's happening in countries where, whether or not you agree with their politics, they seem to be more concerned for the state of their people than we are here in this country. So maybe along with this, we do need some political action.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well put.
So we're just about of time, and I wanted to invite you, Pramik, to come in and give us your thoughts on Earth Day, but also on this journey we're on to heal our bodies, which in many ways is Earth, and heal the world that we live within.
Yes, we are all very much, of course, very, very interconnected, and it's just you know, in heightening our awareness to realize our interconnectedness. And that's been spoken about very, very beautifully here. And like, as I mentioned before, as a musician, if I can even contribute in some small part to helping heal both the psychic and physical body that each one of us inhabit, then something good, something very, very special is being accomplished. So, you know, when John Coltrane had his spiritual awakening, he realized that the real purpose of his life was to, you know, uplift people's consciousness through his music, you know, not just be a master of his instrument, which, of course, he was supreme master of his instrument. But, that, you know, once he had his awakening, that he said, you know, now I know my real purpose is to bring spirituality to people through my music. So I just want to reiterate that that if more of us in the arts have that awareness that we can have a more healthy world, and all our, you know, physical aspects can be more healthy as well. I'm not a doctor of any kind, though I've been blessed to be working with some wonderful health practitioners, you know, that have kept this physical body, you know, very, very gratefully in good shape. So, you know, I think we all have to just spread the awareness of well-being.
As we're running out of time, how can people find you and learn more about your work?
Well, thank you. Well, I'm happy to say that through the works of my wonderful wife, Margie, and a great web designer, I have a brand new, spanky new, beautiful website. If you can just remember the name Premik Music, that's P-R-E-M-I-K Music, premikmusic.com. There will be, the whole story will be there, you know, the various artists I've worked with over the years, and, you know, also give my philosophy on music and the arts, and it will all be there with premikmusic.com. So I encourage you all to pay a visit, and they'll let you know whatever events I'm coming up, have coming up. I'm actually going to be performing in Manhattan, New York City this weekend, with a wonderful group that celebrates the music of the great guitarist John McLaughlin. We're going to be at City Winery on April 16th, Sunday evening, so at 7:15. So please come by if you're available.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks. And Mitchell, we're actually out of time, but if you have a few more words.
Sure. In brief, Catherine, talking to the fuller spectrum of what we've been talking about in today, about both planetary healing and personal healing, you know, I like to say you really can't be healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually in a toxic world. And you could say that that sums up my work in the world of holistically oriented psychotherapy, all the way to acupuncture and stress management, all the way to the planet herself. So
Time. So let's give people your website again.
And my website, I was going to say, is expressed through my, a lot of my media work, and that can be found at www.abetterworld.net, abetterworld.net. And we'd love for everybody to visit there and visit our, be part of Earth Day.
Excellent. I want to thank you both very much for joining us today on Heart of Mind as we with our programming.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
Such a pleasure.